Diddly dum dum.
British Strongman podcast. I'm going to cover axle, floor to overhead, different strategies that could be used for different contexts, common pitfalls, common errors, quick fixes. If you have any questions on this, just write in the comments or send me a DM on Instagram. So let's talk about max axle. Let's start with open weights. So the big thing that I see with open weight people, so like say I've been training with Hixie recently, I trained axle with him, and I remember him doing axle maybe about say 8 weeks ago, and it and looking like really really difficult the way that he was cleaning 60, and then it just looks like fresh air when he's got it to his shoulders. And I've seen him build up to from 60 up to 1 foot, whatever, and the press just looks exactly the same. But the thing that I see is the efficiency on the clean. So I think that this is a really good way that a lot of open weights can make a lot of progress real quick, is especially if they've been doing a lot of log. Is the thing is with the log clean, the learning curve for the efficiency of the clean is it's just so much easier. And it's very similar to stones. It's very similar to, like, say, loading a keg or whatever. It's a very similar movement pattern. Like, we can just use could just essentially stand up and use our lower body power to roll the log up to our body. There's not really much to it. And then truly work on the shoulder and tricep strength. But when you come to an axle, it's a lot more technical and a lot more... Yeah, it can be a lot more challenging, especially when, say, a lot of the open weight guys that I see are a little bit, well, some of them a little bit, some of them a lot restricted in terms of range of motion, in terms of their upper body, versus, say, a lighter weightlifter or Olympic weightlifter, for instance. So what do the lighter weightlifters and Olympic weightlifters do that the open weight guys can steal from without spending too much time, say, improving flexibility, for instance? So, yeah, of course, they're going to promote you to improve flexibility and improve the ability to keep the bar close to your body, which will make the clean more efficient. But I understand that this is probably going to be a longer term. This might be a 6 to 12 month project. So I'm going to cover more of a kind of short-term fix and things that we can do to maximise efficiency working with what we've got. So a thing that I suggested to Hixie a few weeks ago was the thing that I've noticed with this 60 kilo clean that I can picture in my head, where I can picture it and I can see so many open class lifters doing it, where they pop up to the belt or the torso, the tummy, whatever, and then they're so strong in this kind of hingy weight through your heels position, where you feel really strong from like deadlifts, like squats and stuff like that. The problem is when you put your weight through your heels, in order to stop the weight falling off your body, you've got to, well, in order to stop yourself falling over, you've got your shoulders come forward. So then what you've got to do to almost stop the bar from rolling off your body is you've got to like point the elbows back. Otherwise the logically the axle is just going to roll off your torso, which is obviously what we don't want, because we just spent a lot of effort getting it there in the first place. But the problem is, from this position, if we say just power up concentrically, like we're going to do like say a jump from that position where the axle is resting, just think about where the power is always going to go. The power is always just going to go forward. So the power is going to, even though you're going to feel really strong and powerful, and you've got loads of power in this position, and it feels really strong, if that power is going forward, the bar is going to propel forward, and then to land on your, well, near your shoulders at least, for where we're going to press it, where we're going to start the press, it's going to have to loop backwards. So the big problem here is imagine it doesn't hurt, right? And it's just really, really inefficient. So what you're going to do is, worst case scenario, you're going to have to send this looping bar out in front of you, and you're going to have to loop it back into you on to receive it on your shoulders. And then the momentum is still going to be taking it backwards, like almost in towards your neck. So what you're going to have to do is use your upper body strength to put the brakes on, which is going to cost you, obviously, a lot of energy. And obviously, the more weight that goes on the bar, the more this is exaggerated. And yeah, it's going to cost you more energy, and it's going to increase your time under tension. The cost of energy per rep is just going to, even doing like a set of five, for instance, with 60 kilos clean and press, using this, it's going to take quite a long time. It's going to be a lot of time under tension, yeah? And it might not get disproportionately more difficult as the weight goes up. You might go up to 80, 100, 120, and it doesn't feel that much more difficult than the 60. But the 60's given us enough feedback that it could be a lot more efficient. So how could we make this more efficient? What could we do? So what we want to do is basically keep that bar as close to our center line as possible, which, as we've established, if your shoulders are really inflexible, and you a good little test of what we'd ideally want to do, like say if you watch a weightlifter, would be if you get like a PVC pipe or a broom handle or something like that, and almost get into a, like you're going to do an upright row, and then just think about the position that I've described, where people's elbows are pointing back, and then try and keep this PVC pipe or broom handle close to your body. Like you're going to scrape up from your tummy button up towards your sternum. And what you might notice with a lot of people in this position is the bar, if your elbows are pointing backwards, the stick just has to go in front of your sternum and has to loop back just from the position of your shoulders and your elbows. So yeah, of course, you may be restricted compared to, say, a weightlifter or whatever. But what we can try and do is try and offset this kind of problem a little bit by thinking about pointing your elbows more to the sides, or almost like you're trying to keep your elbow over your wrist, or elbow in front of your shoulder, or yeah, just almost like with your eyes above the bar, your elbows maybe slightly in front, or at least towards that, compared to pointing backwards. And now retest and see if you can keep the stick any closer as it comes up towards your sternum. And imagine you're trying to scrape this area from your belly button to your sternum. So if what a lot of people will find is this instantly, just by altering the elbow position, allows us to keep the bar that little bit closer, which in turn allows us to focus on the... keeping the bar closer. So when we receive it and turn it over at the shoulders, it's going to be rolling back in terms of momentum a lot less than it would be if it's looping out in front, and therefore going to be a lot easier to control. It's going to be a lot less time under tension. It's going to be quicker. It's moving less distance, essentially. And you're going to be ready to quickly transition into the press a lot quicker and a lot easier. So a little note on this is, If you're just doing axle cleans when you come up to, say, your comp prep, you're four to 6 weeks out or whatever, and you haven't done any for ages, and you're thinking, oh, I need to be lifting a really heavy weight for my comp that's upcoming. So it's logical for you to wear your comp day kit, your elbow sleeves or whatever you use. So I can just picture these people wearing the thick triple ply sleeves which of course is going to help you press. That's the logic. But now try and do the drill with the stick and the PVC pipe with your elbow sleeves on. So you're making a difficult task even more difficult. And now the added element when you turn over is where you look like, at, say, like a weightlifter or a lighter weight class athlete, where they might be, when they turn the bar over to receive on the shuttle or near the shoulders, they're going to be resting it on the torso or on the shoulders or very near. Whereas if you're already restricted in terms of your rack position and your rack position is with your hands slightly off your torso anyway, if you're wearing these thick sleeves, you're going to make this difficult task even more difficult because you're going to be restricted even further getting that bar closer to your body. You're going to be restricted in terms of keeping the bar close anyway, so it's going to be more prone to looping out in front. And then you're going to be providing yourself with a difficult task to receive it in that rack position. It's almost going to make it like unstable, and it's definitely going to be a little bit further away than if you didn't wear the sleeves. So therefore, if you're getting scientific with, like, say, levers and moment arms and stuff, you're going to increase that moment arm that's going to potentially drastically increase the pressure around the elbow joint, etc. So, yeah, that's why I'd always encourage people to, if you're having an off-season, this is something that we should be playing with drilling in the off season, rather than being like dictated 6 to 8 weeks out that you have to be hitting a certain amount of weight for your upcoming comp in order to lift your comp weight when it comes to it. You haven't got the solid foundation to build on, so you can see why it's so problematic in my opinion. So this would be something that you'd address in the off season. And for people who I coach or address with the off season who've had the most success have been doing a phase without the elbow sleeves, because this is making the task of receiving the bar in a good position and also the ability to keep that bar close to your body on the turnover a little bit lower in terms of rack position where you receive it, so therefore potentially the moment arm around the elbow reduced, and it just an easier task in terms of skill and easier to get for you to get that aha moment. That's what I'm supposed to feel. That's what I'm aiming for. So once you've had that aha moment, then focus on bridging the gap back to eventually maybe using your triple ply elbow sleeves long term. So how would bridge that gap would be maybe going to, like, say, loose neoprenes next, something that's giving you that little bit of support in the rack position, maybe feel a little bit more pop when you're going for the press, but it's not stealing the clean and the turnover at least, and then go a little bit tighter with your neoprenes, and then maybe to a ply sleeve, maybe a single ply and then a tighter one and then a double ply and then build up to your triple. But sometimes you might actually find that, very often I find that, especially if you've got a decent log press, that you soon get to the point where you feel like the trade-off of the clean efficiency, like, basically you might get to the point where you think, oh, blooming out, if I can make this clean feel easy, the press is already there. So if you can get to that point, you might actually find that the benefit that you're getting from the thicker sleeves and support to help with the press is not actually, it may not actually be worth it with you, like it maybe is using your triple ply sleeves on your log, where it's actually, if you think about it, it's actually might actually be helping you hold the rack position, keeping your elbows up, buying you a little bit more margin for error. But similar on the dumbbell, you might find that your triple ply sleeves helping that elbow stay up more in the rack position, buying you more margin for error. But your axle, the benefit that you're getting in the rack, is it actually worth the trade-off for the clean efficiency? And only you can answer that, and only you can base it on your own individual context. You can think, you know, we all have varying degrees of flexibility and stuff. So, but yeah, if you can take those tools and use them as a little test, starting off with the PVC pipe or the broom handle, and then what would focus on once you've found you can actually achieve this position, and you've got the buy-in with the better turnover, and you feel like it's you feel like you've got the range of motion, or you feel like you've got the elbow position nailed when the bar is on your torso or your belt before you drive up to receive the clean. If you've got this position nailed in terms of you knowing where your elbows should be, basically, in your head, try and get your elbows as far forward as you can. Find that threshold where you push your elbows forward so much that it actually drops off your belt, or it actually drops off your belly. Yeah, and then reset, go again, and then go a couple of degrees within that, and that'll probably be your ideal position to. That's going to give you the greatest ability to keep the bar close as you drive up from that tummy button to sternum, which in turn is going to give you that more efficient turnover, etc., like I've explained. So then the other little cue that I practiced with Hixie the other day, which was the one that worked best for him actually, because it taking care of this other cue actually made his elbow position better. So what we actually said, oh no, it was the other way around, I think. Like, we basically put them both together as both these cues work together, and I can't remember which way worked and covered the other, blah 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 blah. But basically what we want to do is, which is going back to the original thing which I spotted ages ago, which was Graham putting too much weight for his heels on that 60 kilo example that I described, was instead of putting the weight through the heels, you know, like a lot of people ask the question, should I wear lifting shoes? And like I say, definitely, yes, definitely wear the lifting shoes, because what this will enable us to do will be get us out of this position where you're all on your heels to actually, if anything, go towards your toes. So if you can get the weight through your toes when the bar or the axle is in the rack, then what you can do is, if you think about it, right now listening to this, if you're standing up, put your weight through your heels, and if your weight's through your heels, try and stand on your tiptoes and watch what happens to your weight distribution. To achieve that, what you have to do, you have to like rock forward onto your toes to even achieve it, and so you're not in a good position to produce force up vertically, because as you extend you're trying to get your toes involved or whatever, or your calves involved, you're having to rock forward before you go up, so it's going to mess up the line. Whereas if we can go try another one around midfoot, and then it's going to feel a little bit better, probably a little bit more natural than the next one. But then the next one is go and put more weight through your toes, more weight distribution through your toes. So in this position, you'll almost feel naturally like if you're holding the bar, your shoulders are going to be more like the towards above the bar or slightly or over or less behind it at least. This might not feel as natural, but now think about driving up onto your toes explosively, like you're going to jump. And notice how now you can go and you're thinking if you extend your quads and your glutes whilst getting up onto your toes, that's going to create this triple extension, this buzz thing that people talk about. But so not only is triple extension important in terms of power production, because they get these incredibly powerful muscles working together, but the magic is in actually the direction that they're producing force in. They're all singing off the same hymn sheet, they're all going up in that. They're all working together to produce this kind of upward momentum instead of forward momentum. So even though it may not feel as natural, you may feel really, really comfortable on your heels, because logically that's going to stop the axle from rolling off your body. And then midfoot feels a lot more comfortable and more natural, because that might be where you're spending most of your time when you're lifting. when you're doing other lifts and stuff. But going to getting comfortable with the weight through these toes, towards the balls of your feet or your toes, so still with your heels in contact with the ground, it's going to enable us to use this to create this more vertical power. So now we've got this kind of thing in our head that you can imagine. Now have a think about what next time that you receive on your tummy or your belt, think about having more weight through your toes and keeping the bit. Basically what you'll be able to do now is keep your shoulders a little bit more forward or less behind the bar, more above or slightly in front if we can. And then what this is, and you got what you're going to buy by design, have a more vertical torso or torso perpendicular to the ground, which is going to, obviously it's going to be more ideal to control, basically stop the bar rolling off your torso or your belt, compared to if you had your weight through your heels and you were trying to achieve this, where you'd have to hinge and then the bar would just move forward. So from this position, what we should aim to look for is like almost like a dip with a push press, almost with the where there's a slight flex at the ankle, slight flex at the knee, slight flex at the hip, or slight bend at those joints, but your torso doesn't look like it's collapsing forward. It looks like we're keeping a bit more upright. The crazy thing is, you might try this position and feel like it's not as powerful, but at first, but again, it's going to be a trade-off that you feel that it may not feel as powerful because I'm not relying on that huge hip extension. You're not loading your hips quite as much, but we're finding that sweet spot where the trade-off's worth it, where that powerful hip extension going forwards is traded for maybe not quite as powerful feeling triple extension that's going a lot closer to vertical. So from this position, and again, suggesting this to Hixie, for instance, you've seen him it's just a technical bridge. It's so simple because it's actually playing to his strengths. If you think about like what's he squatted recently, front squatted like 280 for three without sleeves or something like that. It's ridiculous. But when he was cleaning with an axle on his tummy with his weight for his heels, he's not using any or much of this leg strength to his advantage. So yeah, give that a go with the turnover. Practice this with your, practice this in your off season. Like, don't be panic. It's hard when you're just panic training for a comp. But yeah, just be careful with it. Build it up slowly. But just have a go at these little positional tweaks and let me know how you get on. Let me know in the comments if you've got any questions, and I can answer in future podcast videos. Slide into my DMs, ask me an opinion, send me a video, and I'll see what I can do. So little recap. Use the PVC pipe or the broom handle to learn the test your normal position with the elbows pointing backwards and test how close you can keep the PVC pipe from the tummy to the sternum, and if it's looping out in front, try your elbows more forward and see if this unnatural feeling position gives you the ability to keep the bar closer as you go up from your navel to your sternum. If so, then we can practice this with like stuff like, say, upright rows or whatever, light with your elbows more out to the side, practicing this ideal bar path, and then we can have a go at bridging the clean skill. So when it's on your torso, the axle or the barbell, think about getting closer to this position. Couple it with the weight distribution when it's resting on your tummy, less through the heels, more towards the balls of your feet, with a slightly flexed knee. You may find that open up the hips a little bit, open up the pointing the toes out of it slightly allows you to get this more, basically we're looking for more, as much kind of bend at the ankles, knees and hips that we can get whilst keeping the torso vertical enough, as close to vertical from the floor enough to keep the axle balanced on us. So the more that we can kind of flex down, the more potential that we're going to have for power up, and less hingy and less going forward and less loopy. And if you can nail this turnover, not only is it going to help you lift more weight really quickly, but if you're creating a true weightless position and then maneuvering around the bar to receive rather than looping it out in front and catching it, do you think this is going to be better for your joints? Do you think this is going to be better for your biceps, your elbows, your wrists and your shoulders? They're not having to do this shock absorption thing and doing the eccentric work of stopping you, chopping your neck off. Like, do you think it's going to be more efficient for you? And finally, a little note on the fixed axle versus a rotating axle, rotating bar. So if you watch weightlifters will always use barbells. So they'll keep a tight grip on the bar, because what the bar will do, the weightlifting bar will be, it spins really well within the things on the end where you put the plates on. So to enable you to turn over the barbell when it's weightless and the plates stay exactly where they are and the bar just spins, so your body can move freely and absorb the impact, whatever. Whereas with an axle bar, it doesn't move as freely. Obviously, it depends from setup to setup, but it moves a bit usually, so you can kind of get away with not too dissimilar to what a barbell would be. Whereas with a fixed axle, a thing that I find works well for me and clients is actually learning how to create weightlessness. It's so important to create weightlessness, ideally vertical and not looping out in front, because what you can do is if you create weightlessness as you go up, what I find works well for me is actually I focus on, instead of squeezing the bar as I go to turn it over and receive on the shoulders, I actually let go of my grip and I move my body around the barbell. Almost imagine like a pull-up bar at chest height, around tummy height, and you're basically doing like an explosive pull. You're creating weightlessness and turning this bar into a momentary pull-up bar that's like just below your chest. And on this pull-up bar, what you've got to do is let go and move your body around it and receive on your torso, ideally. Because if you're gripping that bar all the way through, then with a rotating barbell that isn't fixed, you can get away with it a lot, because keeping hold of that bar and gripping it tightly, the bar's just going to the bar is just going to spin within the plates. Whereas with a fixed axle, if you're spinning it as you go to get your elbows under, you're going to be pulling that bar and you're going to be creating momentum and spinning the fixed weight into yourself, basically, and going to spin it into your body, which then you're going to have to put the brakes on. And yeah, this is a reason why a lot of people find it more difficult to clean. A lot of people, there's some open weights that use it to their advantage, and which is another skill and strategy, where they actually, you look at like people like Eddie Hall, who'd like say almost spin it up his body up the top bit and use that momentum in an advantageous way. So maybe give that a try. But I think if you understand the principle of creating weightlessness, if you can create this kind of vertical force from doing the stuff that I've described for the last half an hour, then if you can create that force vertically, then I think a lot of us are going to have success with a bit of practice in learning how to move the body around the bar. So yeah, let me know in the comments what you make of this. If you're going to give it a try, let me know if you did give it a try, what was successful, any kind of things that you've found difficult. Do you wear elbow sleeves? Which elbow sleeves do you find are different, are good? Which elbow sleeves do you find are good? Are they different to what you use with axle? What about Viking press? What about barbell axle? Do you use different ones for each thing? How about, say, lightweights that are listening to this? You, like, say, belt cleaners, do you notice a difference with sleeves? Like, what are the differences you find? Would you use a different strategy if you do it for reps? If you're doing a 5 rep max, 3 rep max, 1 rep max, what are the different scenarios? So ask any questions, and if you get some good questions, I'll record another episode, no problem. Or let me know in the comments what other lifts you'd like me to discuss like this, and diddle-a-dum-dum.